Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. This is Family of Faith, a podcast for Faith Bible by Faith Bible. And today we are talking about raising boys to be men. And not boys to men like the group back in the 90s. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about raising boys to be men. And today, to talk about this, we've asked Dar and Vicky Gruey to come in and spend a few minutes with us today. If you don't know Dar and Vicky, Dar is one of our elders here at Faith Bible.
Hello, Paul.
It's good to see you today. And Vicky, runs the world, basically, at Faith Bible. No, she's overseeing our women's ministry and is part of the women's ministry leadership team. Vicky, it's great to have you as well.
It's great to be here.
The reason I asked Dar and Vicky Gruey to come in today and talk about this is because they have four grown men that they've raised.
We have four grown men.
Yeah. Yes. So tell me about them, if you can, just take a few minutes and tell me who are your guys and where are they at right now.
Our oldest, Joel, is how old is he?
36.
He'll be 36.
Yeah.
He'll be 36. He and his wife have three little boys. They live just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia. Son number two, John, attends FBC. So John and his wife, Tiffany, they have one son, Hudson. And John is...
Are they 31 or 32?
32, soon to be 33.
Yeah. So today we're talking about what happens when you lose your memory.
Yeah. So Josh is son number three, and he will be 33 this year. And Joe, the caboose, is 29. And Joe and his wife, Hannah, live in Southern California. He's attending the Master's Seminary.
And he just got married, didn't he?
He just got married, yeah. Got married in June.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, oh, and I should mention, too, Josh and Alicia have one little boy as well. So we have four sons and five grandsons.
Mm-hmm. Looking at our sons and where they are, they're all serving in the church. They're all leaders in some capacity in the church that they're in. So that's really been a gift to see that God has been faithful.
Yeah. That's great. Praise the Lord for that. So, Dar, you've got a book there. Tell us a little bit about it.
The title of the book is Raising Men, Not Boys. The author is Mike Fabares, and Mike is a pastor in Southern California, and he has written a book that's very, very practical. I would encourage parents of young men to pick this up and take a look at it, too. There's just some real good practical examples and lots of reference directed to Scripture to look at the biblical basis for making those types of decisions.
So that'll be in our show notes, and you can find that link there. So raising boys to be men, why, and I'll ask Dar this first. Dar, why is this so important?
Particularly today in the church, in our culture, where there is gender confusion and a blending of the genders as well, too, that I think we need to be distinctly Christian. We need to be very biblical as we are raising our kids. And in our case, we really want to encourage parents of boys to raise those boys that they would become the men that God has called them to be.
And I think within that, it's really important for the future of the family and the future of the church for parents now when their boys are young to realize they are raising the future leaders of families in the church and how that will affect not only our culture, but how our church functions.
Yeah. You know, men's ministry, sometimes we talk about men's ministry in a programmatic way, but really men's ministry begins at home when those little boys are in diapers. And you have a responsibility as parents and an opportunity as parents to have an impact on the future churches of America and the families that will strengthen those churches. I mean, by discipling, that's what parenting is discipling, by discipling these boys that will turn into men and leaders mm-hmm. of their churches and homes. Your parenting is not insignificant. Mm-hmm. Your discipling of those boys is impactful for the future. So what are some of the things that we're aiming at with our boys?
Well, I think first and foremost is that we want to raise young men who love God. Mm. And that really is that process of disciple making. First and foremost, to raise men who love the Lord above all else. A second area, too, that we think, and this is distinct for men, is that we want to train boys to become men who assume personal responsibility and are workers. Because they one day will most likely have families that they will need to be the providers and caretakers. I think another area is that we really desire to see that young men will grow to love their wives and their families. That's a vision that would be built in very early in life, that for most boys, they will be husbands and dads. And for them to have that vision for the future, that they would be men who would love their wives, love their children mm-hmm. as well, too.
Yeah. And I think added with that, they need to be men who work, but they need to be men who know how to play in the right way. And the men who are fearless because they trust God.
That's great. So men who know and love God, men who work, men who love and lead their families, wives and children, men who play, knowing how to balance work with play, and then men who are fearless. So let's talk practically then on how to get there.
With training them to become workers, one of the things that we did is we would always have assigned chores. So the boys all had responsibilities. And then we held them accountable for that as well, too. So they needed to understand that they had responsibility. Those responsibilities needed to be fulfilled before they could move on to something that they liked to do, which mm-hmm. was play, yeah. but that they had to be done timely as well, too. So when they were young, started out very simply with just some simple chores, but basic responsibilities that each one of them had, and they knew that this was something that they were responsible to accomplish on a daily basis.
Yeah, and then I think what I saw Dar do was move him from those simple chores to dividing it up to chores that were you did just because you were part of the family, part of the team.
Right.
And then he began to add chores that they actually got paid for, so they learned that concept. And within that, he was able to teach them about money and how to use money and progressed it from there. And it was fun to see the different ways that he did that. They began to learn the value of money and what that means for the future.
Hmm. You know, and as we worked with them as well, too, one of the things that we saw was really critical is that they exercised self-control, and that was necessary to carry out the chores and the functions that they had to do, but also that this was part of a sacrifice that they were making for the good of the family. Mm-hmm. And this taught them that responsibility that work isn't always just all fun and games, and that there is some self-discipline involved in that, and sometimes some pain as well, too,
yeah.
just that there's some effort that's required.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to really be careful not to raise boys that would be lazy.
Yeah, and I think that in my experience with middle school and high school young men, I think men enjoy work. I think mm-hmm. when there is that challenge laid out before them and there's clear expectation given, and you know, all of us have been there, you know, you wake up early in the morning and you're dreading the day because you know the work that has to happen. But when you undertake a full day's work or a task that you've been given, you complete it, there is a sense of just meaning and significance in that. You know, I can remember as a young man when my dad would give me a job, and reaching the end of the day, my hands were dirty. I was tired sitting down for that meal at the evening time and just being, wow, you know, that's what I was made to do. Yeah. I was made to work.
Oh, yeah.
There's that feeling that you can't manufacture.
No, you know? You can't. No. Yeah. And a sense of accomplishment, and that they would see that's a good thing. And
right.
And that's part of God's design. You know, he called man to take dominion over the creation. So
Right. We
tried to give the boys opportunities to take dominion of the yard and the grass and build fences.
This is an opportunity.
Yes, this is an opportunity to
take dominion.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
it.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. Dig a hole.
Fill it up.
We had plenty of tasks to do.
And one thing I might add to that I think is really important for today is DAR taught them to complete the task. And right now we're seeing a couple of generations that if the going gets tough, you bail. Mm-hmm. You switch gear, you go on to something else, you don't finish what you started. And DAR was really good at holding the line of you're going to finish your task. And that's so important, I think, for a leader and for a husband, that when it gets hard, you know, these opportunities that he gave him to sweat every day, that you can go beyond what you think you can. And for a man leading in the home, there are times he's asked to go beyond what he thinks he can. Yeah. And that preparation started there with just, you're going to complete the task, even though it's hard.
And for dads, I think, along with what you're saying, what an important thing to model. Not just telling your boys, this is what I expect you to do, you're going to complete it, but actually modeling that.
Mm-hmm. When we were talking about it and talking about defining boys, DAR said boys are distinctly male, called to lead, fight, protect, and explore. My mom version of it was they are born to move, loud, dirty, they have less words and more noise, and they need to explore. I think this is important because as moms, we want to nurture and we've been designed to do that. But with boys, you can't be over nurturing. Dad's going to step in and see that they need to know what pain is and how to get to the point of sweat. And I've seen a lot of moms, and I did it when we first started out because I didn't have all the tools in the tool bank to know not to do it. But I'd want to step in and correct DAR, say, oh no, they're just little, they can't do this, or they're only 9. When he sent them, he had them start a lawn mowing business when they were 9. And that just kept going through the family, and that's how they earned their cars. We never bought their cars. But your husband's going to make decisions that you'll be uncomfortable with. There are many times the decision was one that I wasn't comfortable with because of my nurturing, or the thought of, you know, jumping off rocks or hiking to a high mountain. I thought it'd be better if we all just stayed by the campsite, you know?
there was always that tension of they need to be safe. That was her approach.
Yeah.
And my approach was, but we need to live life on the edge here a little bit too. We won't be foolish, but you know, we need to be risk takers as well too, and understand that.
Yeah.
And so he was really good about that. And it was important that as a woman, I learned not to step in and interfere with that or try to rule over that in some area. And that is a big mistake I see being made today. Moms aren't letting dad take that lead and take them to do some things that are really good for them to do as boys.
Yeah. So men who work, talk to the other areas that we're aiming at.
Men who lead their families. And I think it's important for boys to grow up with that vision that one day, for most of them, they are going to be husbands and they're going to be fathers themselves.
So how did you practically do that? How did you create that vision for them?
Well, I think probably the most important, Paul, was just modeling in our own relationship for the two of us as husband and wife to just say, this is what a marriage looks like. It isn't perfect. But we work through issues and to model that love that we had for one another as well. For boys to understand that the husband-wife relationship comes first.
Yeah.
And for the kids to see that our marriage is our top priority. Now, we're going to be responsible for you as well, too, kids, but our marriage comes first.
Yeah.
And for the boys to understand that from a very early age, that, you know, mom and dad have date nights. Mom and dad need quiet time. So it means that they need to be able to sit on the couch together, and we're going to go downstairs and play and give them some time so they can spend time just one-on-one.
Yeah.
But that to create that, to demonstrate and model that marriage as a priority was I think, very important for our boys.
Yeah.
There comes a time, there's a certain element of time that a mom nurtures her son. And then about whatever age, depending on the boy, they say roughly 10 to 12, you know, 9 to 12. Those boys need to be let go of by mom. And she really needs to be directing them towards dad and his involvement in their life. And I would say to the single mom, if you don't have that dad in the home, then go to the church.
Right.
Look somewhere within the church for those male role models. But some moms really go into a crisis because they want to keep nurturing their sons when now's the time they need dad to be continuing to train them to lead and let go so that one day they can leave and cleave.
Right. I do think that time period where a boy really turns into a man and a young man is around that age, 12, 13 years old, where you as a mom do need to start approaching them differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think moms want to keep them little boys,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're just not.
They're not
anymore. And that's good. We want them to grow into strong men mm-hmm. who will lead and be independent of us. And so that's a hard time period for moms. I've seen a lot of moms really struggle through.
Yeah, a lot of moms struggle during that time. And I have to be honest, I struggled with it.
Yeah.
As I saw them gravitating toward dad, it was what about me, but you have to recognize this is good. This is how God designed it for men and women. It's a big mistake I see moms make in that age and run into more battles. Any battles I had in high school with the boys was because I was trying to over-nurture them.
So
and
important.
I needed to back off and let dad take the reins.
Well, one of the phrases that you hear used now in our culture is helicopter parents.
Yes.
And that, you know, we just are hovering over the kids and not giving them that freedom to begin to develop that independence.
Yeah.
So there's that tough balance because you do want to keep them safe. You do want to provide nurture, but you want to give them the ability to have that freedom and sometimes freedom to fail and to fall flat on their face and then to find that they now have problems and to give them that freedom to fix those problems mm-hmm. themselves. And that's part of being a man is that you need to be thoughtful and creative and to realize that you do have to come up with solutions when you mm-hmm. get yourself into a difficult situation.
I think that subject, a mom of a middle school boy or high school young man, That merits a whole pot. That's a whole conversation.
It is
because moms really go through that period of time, and it's a hard transition for them.
It is,
and there's a lot of battles that are fought, and many times moms don't understand really what's going on. So it's good stuff. So we've got just a couple more minutes. We haven't gotten to all of it. So men who know God, men who are fearless, men who play, talk to a couple of those other areas real quick.
Well, I think the men who play is really just recognizing that boys are very physical. Most boys are physical, but that's where as a parent, you know, we need to recognize the way that God has wired each one of them.
Yeah.
And we had four boys and they were four very unique characters. One of them was not very physical. He was more interested in drama and speech and for him to be involved in a lot of athletic activity just was not his deal. So we had to understand that, but yet we really, as the boys were growing, we saw their need to have physical activity.
Right.
And if it was You know, that there would be work, that work needed to be done, but then that there was that freedom to play too. But we didn't want them just to sit on the couch and exercise their thumbs with a video game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That they, we saw the need for them to burn some energy and to enjoy some physical activity.
And I think the other part of that too with the play is if you just raise them that it's all work and all about work, it strains your relationship because a lot of your relationship building is done in play too. And Dar was very wise when our oldest was 5 months old. He kind of assessed our finances, everything, and we started camping because he realized that would be a good thing for boys to get out, get dirty, you know, all the things. And it fostered relationships over the years that they still come back to because they learned how to play together too.
Yeah.
And sports. He recognized that sports for three of the guys was a really good way for them to get that testosterone level down a little bit so that by the end of the day they weren't edgy. They were tired.
And I think, Paul, just one thing, just a note, we could talk a lot about sports. I think that one of the things is we look back now that we probably spent too much time on sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the regrets that we have as we look back is just that we invested too much time and too much in resources as well.
It's so easy. Sports is one of the things, it'll take as much as you give it, and it's just so easy because people like it. Your boys will like playing. You'll enjoy being a part of it, and that community. It's a special community, being a part of a team and all that. And there are so many positive things in sports, but it is an awesome opportunity. I've always said, you know, sports doesn't build character as much as it reveals character.
True. Sure.
So it really allows people to see who you're. You put them on a basketball court, you're going to see who your son is. You know, and it gives you an opportunity to build into their life and speak into their life. So I think there's a lot of people who would say we just maybe let it take too much.
Yeah, just don't let it become an idol. There were a lot of things that they learned. And one thing that I really appreciated Dar did is he never let them sacrifice Sunday morning worship for sports. He always made sure we got to church no matter what was going on with their sports schedule.
I think just in closing, I see the significance of dads sacrificing for those boys and knowing that, you know, when you get home from work at night, it's game on. It's not sit down on the couch and put your feet up as much as you would like to. But it means, you know, now you shift into high gear because now the real job starts.
Yeah.
And what that meant is setting aside some of the things that dads would like to do with their time and understanding this time that you have these young men in your home will go by very, very quickly.
Right.
And don't waste those years.
Right.
It will mean self-sacrifice on your part, but it's an investment in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So dads, roll up your sleeves, do what you need to do, and do the hard work that it takes to be a good father to young men.
And I appreciate that. I think, you know, because of the gospel, because of what Christ has accomplished, we have all the grace we need to be faithful in the responsibilities God has given us. And it's not our own strength and power. I think practically, you know, there are men who work very, very hard outside of the home and they have nothing left when they get home because they're just so physically tired.
Yeah.
If that is where you find yourself, you might need to reassess what you're doing for career. You might need to reassess whether you need to take that promotion or need to take that extra responsibility at work. Maybe you need to do less job-wise and even make less money in order to spend that time and focus on your family. So... all really, really good stuff. I appreciate you guys coming. We'll have you back for sure because you guys are just a gold mine of information, a wealth of information, and we appreciate your wisdom. Thank you for sharing with us today. If you have any questions, again, and some of you have sent questions in, so we appreciate that. If you have any questions that you would like to focus on in a podcast, just send them to info@fbchurch.org, and we would love to build a podcast around them. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.